Bogota on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith.
Okay, so sending the threat out, like, oh, we're going to have a special session or I'm going to send the state police to arrest you. Well, I'm quotable. So here's the quote. This is what I told the superintendent. Send bachelors and come heavily armed. I'm not going to be a political prisoner in the state of Oregon. It's just that simple.
And that was a quote from State Senator Brian Boquist earlier in the week. And that kicked off what's been a crazy week here in Oregon, all surrounding Senate Bill 2020, which is very controversial and very much on the minds of most Oregonians right now. And welcome to the show. I am the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and I'm happy to have you here. Also on today's show, we will be talking to Morgan Cottle. He's the principal at South Valley Academy, Rogue River School District's newest school. And he's returning to Rogue Talk to give us the report card on the first year at South Valley Academy. But getting back to the local news that everyone's talking about this week, Senate Bill 2020 is a cap and trade bill. If you don't know what cap and trade is, that's only a part of what this bill does. But the cap and trade in various forms has been enacted in other states. Basically, large companies get carbon credits, so to speak, and you're allotted a certain amount based on various factors. And if your company is relatively clean for various reasons, because you have higher tech equipment, or maybe you just don't have as much equipment or whatever, you may have more carbon credits than you need to fit within the program. So you can sell those carbon credits to other companies that maybe, you know, operate more equipment, like logging, for instance. A lot of what a logging company does involves equipment that burns fossil fuels. You have, you know, trucks and yarders and chainsaws, and I don't even know all the stuff because I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination in the logging industry. But a lot of power equipment is used in logging, so they might have to buy carbon credits in order to not have serious fines within the cap and trade program, or be shut down altogether because they're not able to stay within the rules set forth in the cap and trade program. But there's other, you know, there's other things that go into this program that they're trying to pass. Immediately upon enactment, it would increase diesel fuel prices by somewhere between 22 and 30 cents a gallon. And that's just to start with. They'll get much higher as the years go on, but that's an immediate 22 to 30 cents a gallon. Trucks that were built before 2007, and we're talking, this is now we're talking diesel trucks and diesel equipment here. It will affect some other vehicles as well, and we can look at some of the statistics on that too. But diesel trucks manufactured before 2007 will not be allowed to operate, period. So if you have a truck that is in perfectly good working condition, you've kept up the maintenance, maybe you've rebuilt things as needed, but sorry, if it was built before 2007, you will not be allowed to operate that truck. All heavy equipment that does not have one of these diesel cleaning systems, a lot of people refer to it as a DEF system, which is diesel exhaust fluid. They have this complicated exhaust cleaning process, and it requires a fluid called diesel exhaust fluid. It has other names, and there's other systems. And again, I'm not an expert, but I know that within the light truck business, or which is, you know, your standard pickups, 1 ton and below, those DEF systems have been a maintenance nightmare for people. I know numerous people with newer trucks that have these diesel cleaning systems that have had nothing but problems with them. I know Ford in particular, it's just been a nightmare for them with some of the maintenance issues on these diesel cleaning systems. So getting back to the heavy equipment, any heavy equipment that doesn't have one of these systems will not be allowed to be operated. Well, that's pretty much all of the equipment out there. It's really only the newest equipment that has been equipped with these systems, and retrofitting is almost non-existent or not even possible for most of the equipment. So it would force these companies to buy a lot of all new equipment. It's just not feasible. It's not something that can be done. And so that equipment would be no longer be allowed to be operated. Realistically, this bill would cost, it would put thousands of business owners out of business, literally thousands, because if you operate any type of equipment and it doesn't meet these new standards, you cannot operate that equipment. Some of this equipment is even in the smallest forms, can be tens of thousands of dollars, but most of it is hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, there's a certain type of, or a certain level of commercial mowers that are available in my industry that, I mean, there's one in particular I own an older model of that I actually don't currently use, but the newest model of that is, it's a $13,000-$14,000 lawnmower. So I can only imagine the prices of some of these tractors, even the smallest tractors. Now, the one that I have is not a diesel-powered one. I don't know how it might be affected in the future based on something like this, but it's just ridiculous. And I could really get pretty deep into all of this, but I'm not really going to have the time. I would like to devote as much time to my interview, than wasting time on this. But really what it comes down to is this bill is, it's just a monstrosity. It's unattainable. If they pass this, it's going to cripple business in Oregon. And so that quote at the beginning, or that soundbite at the beginning, Senator Boquist was talking about the fact that what they were threatening earlier in the week, they've done. The Senate has walked out. They're denying quorum, which means they can't vote on the bill. You have to have quorum, and the Republicans don't have enough votes to stop the bill. So in order to keep the bill from being voted on, they have to deny quorum, which means they don't show up. Well, of course, that's resulted in Governor Brown sending out the state troopers to round up the senators. I don't believe they've found any of them yet, although I haven't heard the latest today. But of course, if these senators leave the state, they can't be brought back. The state troopers can't cross state lines to bring them back. Interesting to see how this is going to play out. But I have to say, I support them, the senators, 100% for denying quorum. This bill is a disaster. It's being forced down our throats. And some people will say, well, you know, the Democrats got the most representatives, so that's what the people want. And so whatever they pass, you know, that's what you're going to get. Well, first of all, a bill like this really needs to go to the voters. It needs to be... for one thing, the money in any kind of bill like this, even though they say the money's going to certain places, it doesn't have to. It goes into the state fund. They can spend it any way they want to. The only way in Oregon that you can have money sent to a direct cause without interference, it has to be put into the Constitution, which means a state... voted on by the people is the only way to get that done. And so this money, again, will be wasted, not to mention the costs of this. Just the initial administrative costs, $41 million is the estimate over a 4-year period just in administrative costs of this program, because of course it creates more bureaucracy, more you know, money wasted, thrown away. And let's be honest, this is all in a pursuit for them to try and find another way to shore up PERS. And it's just not, it's not a realistic program. It's not a workable program. Again, I support the walkout by the senators. We don't know exactly what's going to happen from here. The governor has said she'll, you know, she'll have a special session after the end of the regular session. There's lots of different options, but again, it's crazy the amount of costs that will go up in the state because of this. Remember, you know, this has a direct effect on fuel costs. Well, everything you buy, everything you do is connected to fuel costs. So it's a horrible bill. And it's leading to drastic measures, but they're measures that are within the law. They are the rules, the procedural rules. You have to have the quorum, and so therefore the Republican senators are denying quorum so that business can't get done, because they're not being asked. You know, they're not allowed to make amendments. They're not really in on the discussion. It's not a matter of, well, we voted for these Democrats and they should be able to do what they want. You still have to work with your partners that are in those same legislative bodies, and the Republicans are just being left out of the discussion altogether. So that's really where the problem lies. And again, I could get much deeper into it. We could go back to the time in 2001 when the Democrats were threatening the same thing, and they supported such a measure, including Governor Brown. But, you know, of course, now they're going to send out the state troopers. So it's a mess, but I'm gonna stop myself here so that we can talk to Principal Cottle, but we will do that after this break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says Iran's financial sector will soon face penalties if it doesn't work to stop evading international guidelines designed to combat money laundering. Mnuchin says Iran has not taken steps to comply with the guidelines. As a result, he says branches and subsidiaries of financial institutions based in Iran will be subject to increased oversight. Mnuchin spoke Friday in Orlando, Florida, at a meeting of the Financial Action Task Force. The Supreme Court threw out the murder conviction and death sentence for a black man in Mississippi, saying the removal of black prospective jurors violated the defendant's rights. Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote, "The 20-year history of the case against Curtis Flowers shows the prosecutor's relentless, determined effort to rid the jury of black individuals with the goal of an all-white jury." Flowers, who's already been tried 6 times, could face a 7th trial. This is SRN News.
Radio without all that junk. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Frost. The New York Yankees capped a 3-game sweep with a 12-1 thrashing of Tampa Bay. Yankees starting and winning pitcher CeCe Sabathia, who allowed 1 run over 6 innings, earned his 250th career victory, joining an exclusive club.
To put my name up there with some of those guys that I idolized, and, you know, some of those names that are, like, you know, enshrined in baseball history, you know, and to be a part of that, you know, it's a big deal.
The AL East leading Yanks picked up their 5th straight win and move 3.5 games ahead of the second place Rays. Boston beat Minnesota 9-4. The Central leading Twins have dropped 3 of 4. Cleveland was a 10-4 winner over Texas. The Rangers have lost 3 of 4 to drop behind the Indians and Red Sox for the second wildcard spot. Oakland completed a 3-game sweep of Baltimore with an 8-3 win. Domingo Santana homered twice in Seattle's 8-2 win over Kansas City. Mike Trout hit 2 homers, including a grand slam for a career-high 7 RBI, and the LA Angels 11-6 win over Toronto. This is SRN Sports. In the National League, Washington swept a twin bill from slumping Philadelphia, 6-2 and 2-0. Phillies pitcher Jake Arrieta, the losing pitcher in Game 2, says he doesn't like losing a pitcher's duel to Max Scherzer.
Just a tough one. I feel like I've had several matchups like this against him, and it's always a really closely contested ball game, and it was again tonight. We just weren't able to to get anything across.
The Phillies have dropped 3 in a row and 7-9 to fall 4 games behind East leader Atlanta, who beat New York 7-2. West leader Los Angeles jumped out to a 6-0 lead after 3 innings and went on to beat San Francisco 9-2. Paul Goldschmidt homered in the 11th, giving St. Louis a 2-1 win over Miami. It was Colorado 6, Arizona 4, San Diego 8, Milwaukee 7. The Padres completed a 3-game sweep of the Brewers, knocking them out of first in the Central, a half game behind Chicago, as the Cubs beat the White Sox 7-3. Other interleague finals, Cincinnati 3-2 over Houston, and Pittsburgh 8, Detroit 7. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
The home of the Chieftain Nation. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge.
Back to Road Talk, and now joining me in the studio, the principal at South Valley Academy, Morgan Cottle. Morgan, welcome back to Road Talk.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. We were supposed to get back together probably in January, but my producer, who I'm firing this morning, he didn't do too good on that. But we got you back so we can get the report card for the first year of South Valley Academy. When we talked last, it was in October, and you had, I believe, about 24 students at the time, which was probably a few more than Paul Young wanted you to have. But nonetheless, you had about 24 students. And so where are we now? End of the school year. How many students are there?
Yeah, it's hard to believe we're at the end of our first year. Yeah, we had, we started the year with 8. The school board had hoped for 25 to 30 by the end of the school year. When we talked, we had 24. We ended the year serving 61 students from the community, and ended the year still enrolled with 49, 5 graduates, which was very exciting. And we have another 9 students who have committed to attend and enroll at the beginning of next year. So our hope is, things come and go with the summer, but our hope is to have 40, 45 when we open the doors again in September.
Yeah, that's great. So how many did you say you graduated?
We had 5 students graduate, which was just fantastic.
Now, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but, we had talked about the different types of students you would have. Like, for instance, how many of those students would be considered like a super senior that were trying to get those last few credits?
Right. So we had 2 super seniors, and to me, I'm probably most proud of that. That is life-changing. These are students that very easily could have just walked away and said, I'm done. I ran out of time. I was close. But these students recognized the value of a regular high school diploma. Could have gone GED route, number of things, but they recognize it. And we just didn't give up on them. They did not give up on themselves. And I am just so proud of all my students, but those super seniors who just would not give up on that, I'm just very proud.
Yeah, and for those of you listening, if you don't know the term super senior, that's one I learned here. We didn't have that term at my school when I was in high school that I remember. We had super seniors, but we didn't call them that. Students that have been through their 13 years of probably public education, including kindergarten, I guess, and didn't quite have enough credits to graduate for one reason or another. And a lot of times, again, it's not an academic problem. It's just a problem of circumstance in some cases. In fact, we talked about in our first interview, many or often kids that are helped by a program like yours or a school like yours are ones that maybe are having to help out their family, and school becomes a secondary priority. And so, they missed a class or they failed a class because they just weren't in the seat often enough. And so they just have a few credits to make up. That's what a super senior is, someone that just didn't quite get all their credits by the end of their normal, 12 years of school, 13 years, including kindergarten. And your school is perfectly suited to help those kind of kids. But I found it interesting that, it was just a couple of them that that were super seniors. So you actually had some others. What type of students were these other graduates that graduated this year from South Valley?
Right. And I, you know, appreciate your comment that life throws curveballs. And, you know, those super seniors, a lot of it was a need to work. And or they ran out of time with one credit, and high schools are, you know, there are usual some kind of mechanism to help them with extra time, but it can be awkward for a student to come back and people like, well, weren't you a senior last year? And so yeah, we're really proud of that. The other students, two of them were new transfers to the district. They moved here from other places, were busy life circumstances. Didn't want to go to the regular high school. One worked full time, and you know, came in just needing a couple of credits during his senior year, and so this worked out very well for him. Another was new to the state and had done online education in other places. Was kind of used to that scenario and successful that way, and just continued that way. One was a transfer over from Rogue River High, and wanted to move quicker, and that worked out very well for him also.
Yeah, and that's excellent. And it shows the whole range of things that the school can offer. You know, you've got all different students with all different needs, and we talked about this again in our first interview. And for those of you that I can't recap everything we talked about, but you can go back and listen to it. Go on our website, 943thebridge.com, and go back to October of 2018, and you can listen to that episode. And you can, you know, the beauty of technology, you can skip past all the news and sports and stuff and go right to the interview, because that's the good part. But so it does show the different range of students that you get there, because it really does offer a lot of flexibility. And so that's exciting.
It's very exciting.
It's very cool, because that it was some kids that are added to the graduation list for this year for the Rogue River School District that might not have been on that list if it wasn't for something like South Valley Academy.
I completely agree with that comment. And the state looks at a couple of different kind of graduates. Schools are looked at with their four-year graduation rate. So that's looked at as what students enrolled as freshmen, and did they make it out in their 4 years on time? So that's one measure. And that's a good measure to have. What are schools doing to make sure, and that a phrase you're getting to hear a lot the coming years is on track. Are they continuing on a path that keeps them on track for graduation? And that's important to look at, especially freshmen. To be on track, you earn 6 credits a year for the 24 needed to get your high school diploma. But another measure is just completers. And that's where the super seniors come in. Yes, they graduate. I may have taken that fifth year. We have a student who came back, and she's 20. Life threw a lot of curveballs. She just wasn't ready to finish. She came back and is absolutely motivated. If I could bottle this young woman and show it to everybody else, and it's like, here's drive, here's intent, here's passion to get something done. And she's doing it. And boy, I tell you, that's another one I'm just very, she is working so hard and smart and successful. But that completer rate is also very important. So I think that's an area too that we're good at.
Yeah, and I don't know this student, so don't sure. Don't apply what I'm going to say to what Morgan just said, but I can see an instance where, again, it happens. We don't want it to happen, but there's teen pregnancies, and a girl could take a year off or 2 years off, get her life on track to where she knows how, you know, what child care is going to look like and how those things are going to work. And maybe she's going to get a job. She can come back to somewhere like South Valley Academy and get right back on track.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the instance here.
No. But, and it just made me think, because I know those situations arise.
So one of our super senior graduates has a daughter. And that's one reason when we put a baby changing station in our school is not just for her, but we know that all our students feel valued, feel safe at our school. And that's one reason our whole design of our school is lots of couches, lots of big tables. So when you come in there, my wife raised it, it's like walking into a cafe. You'd walk in there and those students, and you look at them, they're all comfortable, they feel valued, they feel like they know that they're welcome there.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you transitioned to the school, because one of the other things we talked about, I had originally announced on the show, we had a building, and I think I even said where it was, and then that fell through.
It did.
But you had mentioned that you had a building lined up, and that that next week, you were going to find out if that was going to go through, and I believe it did go through. So tell us about the new building and how it's working out.
Sure. Yeah, we started back in September in the music room of West Elementary School, and that was fine. That was a great location. We appreciated the elementary school really supporting us, but we quickly outgrew that, and I had a couple of places lined up that also fell through, and we ended up at the old credit union out by Reyes. And so we converted that and moved into that January 7th. And so that has been a fantastic location for us. Any given day when you walk in, you'll see 10, 12, 14 students in our building of the 61 we served. And but we have realized also we're outgrowing that quickly. So we will stay in that location when we open the doors back up in September, but we're looking to have kind of what we call overflow classrooms. So there's a couple of spaces out in the out in that center that we might try to rent and have be for an art room or an overflow room or a testing room or someplace. We try to keep our main building pretty low key, and so students, it's got a pretty good vibe of just low key and everybody doing things. But if kids want to, have lunch and get a little bit more energetic, it'd be nice to have another room. So I can see us probably another room or two early next year. And probably later in the year, looking for maybe a space itself that's just larger. So we're always looking, planning ahead, and making sure we have what we need.
Yeah, that sounds good. And you said, couches and chairs, yeah. and so it's that laid back environment that I think lends itself to at least some of the kids that are mm-hmm. drawn to South Valley Academy, because they don't necessarily, they don't quite fit into the 7-hour school day or right. whatever. Yeah, I guess it's a 7-hour school day. And so that's an environment where they probably actually get more productive work done because they're not feeling the pressure of sitting in a classroom with 30 other kids.
And that's a great point. I never want people to confuse laid back with not rigorous. And, sometimes the harder you push on something, the more resistance you get back. And by creating an atmosphere that is comfortable but still rigorous, students are getting a lot of work done. And on that point, for next year, one change that we're adding to the model of our school for those students that are earning high school credit. And I phrase that carefully because sometimes they're not necessarily high schoolers. We may have somebody that's eighth grade that is doing very well and moved quickly. Let's put him into one of the courses that earns high school credit. So for those that are earning high school credit, we're developing a 6-week option. So if you look at a school year and you need to earn 6 credits, in a traditional setting, you'd be taking classes all day long. You'd have your math, you'd have your English, you'd have your science, you'd all of those. And we look at our students, and one thing we've learned about a lot of students is the amount of anxiety they feel. There's a lot of pressure on kids, socially, academically, emotionally, and for many kids, it's overwhelming. So our 6-week model is every 6 weeks, you just take one class. So you got, let's say, Algebra 1. So we'll give it to you, and you have a 6-week span to finish all of Algebra 1. But that's all you do during the day. Now, if you take that 6-week and do the whole year, you're still on track. You're going to have six-week chunks to earn your 6 credits.
So instead of jumping from course to course and having to do homework in, maybe 4 different classes and, prepare for tests in 4 different classes, and the tests come on different days, and it you can just focus in on the one thing.
Exactly.
And it, in a way, it's probably a better way to learn a subject. I mean, we hear a lot about going to a year-round school mm-hmm. because of the retention rates, and this is probably a good example of where the retention is probably better when it's a continuous,
right.
you know, chain, you know, as you learn I think of math, you know, you learn to do the simplest thing and then you move to something a little harder and a little harder. And that progression is a lot easier if you're not stopping and then going to learn history or you're going to learn, you know, whatever, English.
Right.
So I would imagine for maybe for a lot of the same type of students that are a good fit for South Valley are also a good fit for that type of a program.
Right. And your example of math is the perfect example. You get your math hat on and I'm going to concentrate in that and I'm going to stay with that. And we're careful with our design. The one area we were making sure was take English, for example, and high school English has a lot of reading involved. So we would purposely not have that English class be fall term or the first 6 weeks. So we're going to look at a student and say, okay, here are the books that you're a year long. You may have 4 or 5 books that need to be read. And if you put that in the first term or two, that's going to be impossible. So we're going to save that for March, April, but we're going to have them reading those novels, those books ahead of time. So when they get to that class, all of that information is already taken care of. And so then when they get to the class itself, they've got all the books read. But going back to your math example, that's perfect because that's one you're exactly right. Everything builds on itself. So we've already had a number of high school credit earning students say that I love that idea and I want to make sure I do that when come fall.
Yeah, that sounds good. And that, again, I just think it lends itself to this type of students that you're going to have. They're not all of them, but no. many of them, yeah. Probably that's going to fit for them, you know, quite well. Now, we talked about in our first interview, we were talking about this kind of being almost an experiment in a
yeah.
way. I mean, it was
a proof of concept.
Yeah, exactly. And so the commitment was maybe a little soft. I mean, it was definitely a year, hopefully 2 years.
Right.
But in the interim, we're losing Paul Young as our superintendent, and we have a new superintendent. And so I'm wondering, where do things stand as far as the commitment to South Valley Academy? Are you obviously you're on track for next year? We've talked
right.
about you've already got, you know, a pretty good group of students already signed up. Where is the district's commitment stand now that we're kind of transitioning to our new superintendent?
Yeah, and we're excited for the new superintendent. And he and I have talked about our school. And it really comes back to serving the community. Is this design of a school meeting the needs of our community? And we just had our kind of end of year wrap up yesterday with Superintendent Young, and it's a resounding yes. The community has responded well. The new superintendent, Superintendent Lee, is you know, we've met a couple of times, and the school board are firmly behind the idea. As long as we have student participation, the school will be open and running strong, and we see no flattening of the line, no plateau in the near future. You know, I have a personal goal of 120 by the end of next school year, and I think that with Reach moving their main facility to Grants Pass, they've done a great job of serving this community. But they also recognize many of their students are Grants Pass area students. So they've opened a new building in Grants Pass, and their main facility here in Rogue River will not be as functional as it has been. So there's a number of Rogue River parents that have been parents that don't want to make the drive to Grants Pass. So I think our timing is really good, introducing a new model of design for high school, our commitment also to supporting students that want to take RCC classes. So now we will help them enroll at RCC and pay for their classes at RCC and that dual credit model. And that way they can earn credits for their high school diploma, yet at the same time be earning credits at the college level that would carry through with them. And we'd take care of that fee. So the school board's been very good in supporting our concepts and our ideas and kind of a novel approach. I'm always looking for different ways. Like, okay, what do we need? We're a perfect area to do things differently. And so we're like, how about this idea? And Don Sweeney, our business manager, he and I spend a lot of time talking to each other and making sure that what we're doing meets the needs of students, helps keep the doors open. open. We can't do anything if we don't keep the doors open. So to answer your question, I see nothing in the foreseeable future from our new superintendent or the school board that is anything but just very supportive.
No, and I think, like you said, with Reach kind of changing what they're doing, that's a big opportunity for your school to actually get bigger. Now, getting bigger also means more staff. Mm-hmm. When we talked to you in October, I think you were a staff of three.
Yes.
You were the only teacher. What does the staff look like now?
Yeah, and when we in January, we hired a long-term sub, and that was purposeful. That gave me an opportunity without a firm commitment to kind of try people on. And so we did that. So we brought in a gentleman, Robert Lamphere, who has a tremendous background in special ed and math and has a real keen analytical mind. So he came in full time in January and kind of took care of the high school kids for me. And we kept him on all year. Elaine, who was this last year our classified support staff person, she worked with kids directly. So for next year, we've kept Robert on. I'm very excited for that. He will now become a full-time Rogue River School District employee, and he will take care of our special ed and many of our high school. Elaine is still coming back with us. Her role is changing, though. She'll be a half-time teacher and half-time support staff. Her role in the teaching role will be more of the arts, career and technical ed, special projects, and a few of the middle school type kids. And then we've also hired an elementary specialist that we're sharing with Rogue River Elementary School. She'll be half-time for Jamie at the elementary school, and she'll be half-time with me taking care of the 3rd through 7th graders. So we'll have a staff of three, two what they call FTE, two full-time employees of that. And of course, Brandy is secretary running the school.
Of course. We always know the secretary
absolutely
is really the one in charge.
Absolutely.
And shout out to Sharon.
Yeah.
So I was looking back at what we talked about in October, and I realized I never did ask you this, and I guess you sort of spelled it out there, but what grades do you encompass at South Valley? I never did ask that question, and shame on me. I slapped myself on the hand for
you
that.
You talked to your producer about that.
Yeah, that was his fault.
I phrase it interesting. The curriculum we offer is grades 3 through 12. And so when I say that we serve third graders, it is students capable of at least that entry level of third grade curriculum. And that really is only dictated by the curriculum we choose. It's called Odysseyware, our online content. They don't serve below third grade. And so that's kind of, so that doesn't mean that if a student was supposed to be a second grader, but they're highly able, if they want to come in and tackle the third grade curriculum, we welcome that. And so, yeah, 3rd through 12th is kind of our general mark.
So because of the model of the school and you're 3rd through 12th, but you're pretty flexible at what you can do within those grades, are there any students that are working on an accelerated level where they're trying to graduate earlier?
Absolutely. Without naming her, we have one young lady that immediately comes to mind. And she's focused. She's a sophomore, but she earned 8 credits this year. She hardworking, capable, and she's well on track to graduate early. We have another young lady that is working very hard. She's thinking about her GED because she's got a life plan. And the GED route is a good route for many students, but it does have its limitations out in the real world. It's become more rigorous, but there's still examples of military used to take GED. Well, not anymore. So I try to really inform our students the value of a regular high school diploma, the life circumstances for a GED. But one additional different model that we have in there is you can now, a student, take and pass the GED and apply those scores to high school courses for your regular diploma. So, yes, you have your GED, but how did you do in language arts? How did you do in math? Let's apply those so you don't have to take those high school classes, but you can get the credits.
Oh, I see. So they can go ahead and get a traditional diploma after getting a GED.
Correct. And it's another accelerated way to honor students what they already know. You've proven that you're proficient in these areas by passing the GED with a certain score. The higher the score, the less classes you have to take of high school credits. And so I have, next year I'll have 3 students doing that. And they'll also be combining what they're doing at RCC towards there. So we have many avenues to honor those students that are willing to work hard and are able to move at an accelerated pace.
Now, you mentioned the partnership with RCC. I know the high school, there's the partnership with RCC as well as SOU. In fact, my son just graduated and he had...
Congratulations.
Thank you. That's the last one out the door. And
here's your luggage.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and he's going to feel that way when he leaves for college in September, because he'll come back the way his oldest sister was. When he comes back, his room will not look anything like it did. So he'll be ready for that. But seriously, he had some credits from SOU that he'll be able to transfer to Western Oregon when he goes there in September. And so I assume you have those same kinds of opportunities with South Valley, that any of these college credits, they're going to be transferable credits.
Absolutely. We want to make sure, and both high schools have done a good job of making sure that students don't end up with what's called empty credits. And so there's a big push, take RCC classes, but through accreditation, and the university system within Oregon recognized that problem a few years ago. And so they've done a great job of their partnerships, especially with community colleges, to make sure students are not in. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of time to have those empty credits. They addressed it a few years ago, and so it's not as a problem as it used to be. But yes, our partnership, especially with RCC, the Rogue River High School itself, they're large enough to have teachers on staff that have gone through the accreditation process at the college level, so they can offer those classes on campus. We're not there yet. So our credit partnership with RCC is the students will go to the RCC campus, but those credits, will then count for both and be transferable.
Yeah. Well, and I know at the high school, at Rogue River High School, they have a college and career center, and it's an ever-improving college and career center. It's much better now than it was when I moved here many years ago when my kids were really little. They've done a lot to improve it. A lot of that is with partnerships with programs like Gear Up and with College Dreams. Do the students at South Valley, what kind of help that the kids at the high school are getting in the College and Career Center, do you have similar options or similar things, ways to help? Like the way what I'm thinking of is not just for college, because a lot of kids need some help with all the proper steps to get, into college and to apply, to maybe get scholarships. But there's also kids that are going into things like you mentioned in our first interview, with diesel mechanics or with welding. So is there some counseling for those kids to get them on the right track for what the next step will be when they graduate from South Valley Academy?
Yeah, and we value, it's a high priority for us, that individualized learning and making sure where our students, those that are college bound, fantastic. Those that can get certifications towards more of a vocational, how are we going to help them? I'm very pleased that Chris Carmichael, the principal of Rogue River High, we all work together as a team. We all know what's the best interest is for the students. So we have students constantly going up to the Career Center and working up there and picking their brains. As a staff ourselves, we are all of us working as a team for those students also. What can we do? How can we help you with those certifications? Here's who you need to contact at RCC. We spent all year looking for guest speakers, presentations to come to our school that was open to the entire community. Southern Oregon Air Academy out of Grants Pass Airport is a great example. They came and brought drones. Pilots came and talked. They have a wonderful camp this summer that at least one of our students is attending. The flight industry is a great example. They recognize that there's an immense shortage of pilots coming through. So they'll help students pay for their certification of becoming a pilot. Alaskan Airlines is doing that because they recognize these, you know, smaller regional airlines are in desperate need of pilots. So they're doing everything they can to encourage young people now to get their licenses. We had the new editor of the Mail Tribune is a Rogue River High grad. So she came and talked about her career path. And so we've had a number of people come in from the medical field, from emergency medical, come in and give presentations and talk about career paths. Some of those involve college, many don't. Had a great conversation with one of the Rogue River city employees, and they're looking for interns. The city services jobs, you know, we've got a retiring group of people that worked for cities for many, many years, trying to get young people to understand the value of those jobs, and that it's a very livable wage.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're good. They're good jobs. I mean,
they're great jobs.
It's a good team environment. I mean, I know, you know, some of the guys working for the, you know, city of Rogue River, and they're very happy with that job.
No, they're a great crew. And that's common throughout the valley. You know, I talk to a lot of plumbers looking for interns, electricians looking for interns. And if you want to talk about a great family wage jobs, man, those are them. And they're high demand.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about that before on the show, whether it's been with the FFA kids or right, other shows that we've done. And there's great opportunities in the trades that don't even always have to be self-employed like I am, which is, it seems like a great idea, but it sometimes is more work than it's worth. But seriously, there's a lot of the trades where you don't have to be the owner of the company to make right, really good money. I know with, you know, electricians and plumbers, there's some bigger companies in the valley that you know, they're paying good wages to get quality people. And
it's portable skills. And I think that's important for young people to understand, too, that, you know, my daughter is an ultrasound tech up at the Salem Hospital. It's a 4-year degree. But she can take those skills anywhere. And the same with the trades. Electrician, plumbers, you can take that anywhere in the country. And those portable skills are really important in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're gonna run out of time, and of course we will have you back. We don't
Thank
know
you.
When because my producer's not a very good booker, but we'll get that taken care of. But seriously, if you could maybe kind of give us you mentioned some of the goals already, but
right,
give me kind of a quick recap. What are your goals for this coming school year and into the future?
Yeah, so the goals for this upcoming year, and again, with the increased staffing, that's exciting right there. But the goal is continued growth, and that growth is never at a cost of not serving the community and the individual student. I think putting in place the model of the 6-week course model for a lot of students is going to be important. But my personal goal is to constantly make sure that we know our students and we're serving the whole student and family. So we're, you know, how are you doing? What can we do for you as a family? And that I'd like to, yeah, I mentioned the goal of 120 students, but that's just kind of a personal goal. It's never going to be at the sacrifice of serving the kids within our community.
No, but we know the number of students that weren't attending Rogue River schools
right,
that are in the district was a pretty high number. I don't remember what it was.
At one point it was 300 before we opened South Valley.
Yeah, so that's not an unrealistic
right,
goal, especially again with the kind of transition going on with Reach.
Right.
Well, we support you in those goals.
Thank
for sure.
You.
And it sounds like things are going as well as can be expected. I mean, again, you jumped from 8 to like 24
yeah,
within a month's time,
yeah,
which I'm sure made Paul really nervous.
he was nervous, but I appreciated the comments when we had our end of year talk yesterday. And you know, his goal, of course, was to make sure that we had processes in place that we didn't have to redo because we just got too big. So we've been very, very thoughtful and careful about all the processes in place. And I just, you know, I reach out to parents that are still curious about who we are. We get inquiries daily that they can go to the Rogue River School District website and find us in a drop down to learn more. They can always give Brandy a call, 541-582-6010, and schedule a time to come in and sit and talk with us. We'll be pretty closed up for the month of July, but we'll be back August 1. and just excited to serve this community.
Yeah, that's great. And again, I'm excited at how well it's gone, and I hope that continues, because I think it's a great opportunity. In fact, I've known some kids that definitely would have benefited from the different type of environment that you offer, and so I'm looking forward to, you know, getting more of those kids into a school where they can be successful, and instead of just kind of falling off the table like they've done in the past. You know, we just kind of lose track of some of these kids, and there's no reason that we have to.
Absolutely not.
Well, thank you again for joining me, and we'll definitely have you back. And
we'll shoot for October. I'll talk to your producer.
There you go. Shoot. Yeah, definitely so. And so we're going to take a break here and come back with more Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Vladimir Putin has ordered Russian airlines to suspend the transportation of Russian citizens to Georgia, saying the move is necessary to protect national security. The decree on the suspension says the ban will begin July 8th and would be temporary. The reason behind the delayed implementation isn't clear. The move came in the wake of a violent protest in the Georgian capital, sparked by anger over the presence of a Russian delegation at an event in the Georgian parliament. The United States is blacklisting five Chinese organizations involved in supercomputing, calling them national security threats and cutting them off from critical U.S. technology. The move Friday by the Commerce Department could complicate talks next week between President Trump and his Chinese counterpart, Xi Jinping. On Wall Street, the Dow by 34 points, the NASDAQ dropped 19, the S&P lower by 3. More details at srnnews.com.
Talking about things that matter. 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I want to thank once again Morgan Cottle for coming in today and giving us the report card for South Valley Academy, the newest school in the Rogue River School District. Just completed their first year, and it sounds like it was a successful year, and we're looking forward to next year. So thanks again, Morgan, for coming in to talk to us about South Valley Academy. So we can't take a look at what's going to be going on in the community coming up without looking at Rooster Crow, which is coming up next weekend. So only a week away, and looking at, I don't have the complete schedule here, but looking at some of the highlights of events that are going to be happening. Of course, the community center dinner, which is normally on the third Friday this month, moved to the fourth or last Friday of the month. So June 28th at the community center. The menu is Rooster. Dinner starts at 5, and it's sponsored by the Rogue River Rooster Crow Committee. $7 for adults, $3.50 for kids ages 10 and under. And that'll be a great way to kick off the Rooster Crow weekend by getting to Friday night's community center dinner again next Friday. And of course, next Saturday kicks off all of the rest of the Rooster Crow festivities. There's an art show at the museum, and that's going on most of the day from 9 until 4 o'clock at the museum. The parade starts at 10 a.m. There is a water ball competition, and that starts at noon. The human crowing competition starts at 2:15. The 66th annual rooster crowing contest is at 2:45. So 2:15 for the human crow, 2:45 for the rooster crow. The Cal Ore River Racers will be here again.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.